The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Some very sad news today for Kim Kardashian. She has a big problem on her hands. The media has their sights set on replacing her now with the new Kim 2.0, Kim Yo-jong, the sister of Kim Jong-un. That said, what everybody was talking about, of how wonderful she was, how she was stealing the show. She made an appearance at the Olympics, but, you know, she didn't bring tanks or missiles. She brought an army of red-costumed, smiling cheerleaders. Oh, that's great. Women dressed in red and forced to do the bidding of their tyrannical regime as their parents starve. It was so nice and heartwarming. You'd think that it's all the rage right now that the media would have, gone all a Handmaiden's Tale on Kim 2.0. But the headline instead read, North Korean cheerleaders are stealing the show. Oh, that's so great. I'm sure some of their relatives, after stealing some bread, did more than, just impress everyone. They were seen in front of a crowd, too, being executed. And I love that when they steal bread. But they're stealing a show this time. The CNN used the exact same headline for Kim. Kim Jong-un's sister is stealing the show at the Winter Olympics. That's great. Washington Post called her enthralling. The Ivanka Trump of North Korea. Oh, that's great. Reuters flashed a smiling picture of Kim 2.0 when they deemed her the Winter Olympics diplomatic gold winner. Oh, it's so great. I feel like I have to say this every week and almost every day, but you should give up on the media entirely. It would be comical if it wasn't involving death camps. I don't know why anybody trusts the media anymore. While they are glamorizing and legitimizing a mass-murdering slave state, they were simultaneously vilifying Mike Pence. Oh my gosh, look at that. Oh my gosh, did you see? He gave her the side eye. I mean... Holy cow, what a horrible man he is. I mean, I get your opposition to Trump has made you, go and prop up anyone who is opposed to him. But I don't know, if you're propping up Kim Jong-un, it's a little far, don't you think? I mean, far be it for the media to tell the truth, but this is the reality. The red-clad cheerleaders are probably the most tragic sight at the Olympics. Make no mistake, they are human slaves. You think they had a choice to be there? What do you think happens to their families if they, God forbid, make a mistake? If they run away from the group? Oh, well, they'd be put to death if they were caught, along with all of their family members. And every media outlet that is turning, the Kim family into the Kardashian knows this. And this new Kim 2.0, do you know who she is? Do you know what she does? Because she's number two behind her brother. She sits at the top of North Korean's Politburo. So when Kim Jong-un gets sick, she fills in. She is responsible for the enslavement, the torture, and the murder of thousands upon thousands of people. And probably the most ridiculous thing about the media's grotesque fawning is that her primary job, I love this. What's her primary job? She's the head of North Korean state propaganda. She's the one who puts shows on specifically to deceive the foreign press. Is the media that gullible, that stupid, or are they that eager to support literally anyone that defies Trump?
It's Monday, February 12th.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Can you imagine being Otto Warmbier's mom and dad, flipping through the channels and just say, let's just get away from all of this. Let's just watch some ice skating. And you see Kim Jong-un's sister in the stands. And everybody in the media is fawning over her, making her into Jackie Onassis.
Yeah, but did you see those cheerleaders, though? They were clapping in unison. It was amazing.
Oh, it was great.
I mean, they must love their life so much to be so uniformly happy all the time.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's incredible.
Well, they do. They were happy all the time. And they clap. And it's, you know, it's not like they were taken from their home, you know, at you know, practically birth to 4 years old. And then this is what they do.
Well, we all dream as kids of getting out of the house and being able to do whatever they want, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's probably what it was. They're probably excited to leave their parents and never see them again and risk the...
Well, at least they're eating.
Well,
I mean, unless they make a mistake.
Yeah, well, they're eating enough to keep them thin and good-looking because...
No. I learned from NBC that the biggest surprise of North Korea is how stocky the people are.
That's right. That was Lester Holt, right?
Yeah, Lester Holt. They're very stocky. They're almost fat. They have so much food.
We were never given the... By the way, I was in North Korea. I had to say all that crap report from Lester.
No,
Did we ever get that?
No.
Because I remember thinking at the time, well, we need to give him time to get out of the country.
Correct.
So therefore, if he was just worried about being murdered for those reports, we'd understand it.
No.
No, I've never.
No, he doesn't have the fear like the cheerleaders that they love so much.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the same fear.
But they were, I will say this about the cheerleaders, swaying in unison as well. Swaying and clapping in unison.
And smiling.
Happy.
Happy.
These people are happy.
You know who
Look at
not,
the smiles on their faces.
You know who they're not like?
Who?
That drag Mike Pence. You see him?
Oh, yeah.
Do you see him? Mm-hmm. These people are all happy. Mm-hmm. He's at Dachau, and he's moping around Dachau.
Mr. Frumpy Face at the concentration camp.
they experimented on people.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Have you seen the North Korean cheerleaders? Maybe that'll bring a smile to your face, Mr. Frumpy.
Sure, they murdered millions, but where are your pearly whites? I don't see them.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, Mike. Show us
this
that glistening smile.
This is incredible.
That is the coverage.
This is incredible. So the same week... The same weekend that they were saying how great Kim Jong-un's sister is, who is the minister of propaganda. That is like saying, you know, that Goebbels cat, boy, can he tell a story.
It's true.
It really is.
Yeah.
Have you read any of his works or seen any of his films? My gosh, he's a brilliant filmmaker. Brilliant filmmaker and a storyteller. Oh, we sat with Goebbels for hours and just listened to these fascinating stories about Adolf Hitler. It's great. That's what they did. Oh my gosh. Kim Jong-un's sister. Oh, she's a delight. Have you seen any of her work back home? Well, I mean, you could see it here with the cheerleaders. That was all her work. Isn't she brilliant? No glass ceiling in North Korea, I guess.
I guess not. And by the way, we should include her full title, because she runs the Department of Propaganda, but it's the Propaganda and Agitation Department is the full title.
Who's she agitating?
I don't know. They all seem so happy. Well, it doesn't seem anybody there is agitated. They're all just, you know,
except for the people who are, they do this great thing in the concentration camps in North Korea where... because they don't have enough bullets. They don't want to waste any bullets. So what they do is they throw infants up in the air in the concentration camps, and then they try to catch them with a sword.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's quite
Oh, no. But it's happy. They love doing it.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah. Mm. The children love it. The parents love it. The guards at the camp, they love it.
Mm.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, this is not the society to show as a happy-go-lucky group of folks when you're covering the Olympics. Every time you bring up North Korea, it should be surrounded by the fact that it is an entire prison-sized concentration camp. That should be the only thing you talk about when you talk about them. should not be, oh, look at how happy they are. Look at them all clap in unison. Look at how pretty Kim Jong-un's sister is. Look how mean Mike Pence looks. Look at how she's giving him the side eye. Look at how she's winning the diplomatic gold medal. None of that should be part of this conversation. This is a bunch of people that murder their own.
This is Nazi Germany.
I mean, it is. The only difference with it is
that it's communist instead of fascist.
Yeah. I mean, there's a slight difference, and that's a slight difference, by the way, between communism and fascism.
Well, no, because they're both socialist states.
Right, because they're both socialist states. And also, the big difference between the Soviet version of communism mm-hmm. and North Korea, while they may still believe in a, the Soviets believed in a global brand of all-encompassing government control, where the, you know, fascists believe in a nation state where there was complete and total government control. That's the big difference between fascism and communism of the day back in World War II.
Yeah.
With North Korea, I mean, they may believe in a global version of it. However, they apply it pretty much in their nation state. They do try to influence others. They don't have the power that that the Soviets had. Although they'd love to have it. And if they had it, they would attempt it. But that's not a big difference. The bottom line is your life sucks in any of these regimes. And North Korea, in some ways, is even more restrictive than the Soviet days were.
How, Stu?
Oh, well, I mean, again,
have you seen how happy they are?
They're able to focus their control in a much smaller area. The Soviet republics were difficult to control, which is, you know, one of the reasons why they had so many problems doing that.
Yeah.
And why they had to do things like the Holodomor, where they, you know, murdered millions of people.
Yeah. I mean, they only murdered about 50 million people. Between 20 and 50 million.
And, you know, the North Koreans don't have those far-flung assets,
yeah,
right? Where, like, yeah, the reason why they had to kill millions of people in Ukraine is because they were pesky. They kept thinking maybe they should have a little freedom. Mm-hmm. Where in North Korea, there's not much of that left at this point. You know, we talked about the example of the doctors who go over to North Korea, and they go there to do basic surgeries that everywhere else in the world are completely routine. You have a cataract, for example, and the eye surgeons come in, they do the surgery, you're totally fine. Everywhere else, pretty much in the world. In North Korea, everybody gets them, just goes blind because they never get any surgery. And they sit here for years and years and years and years, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And then they eventually just go blind. So there's doctors who actually cross these borders and will do the surgeries for the people for free because they just know, you know, it's never going to happen. So they risk their lives going in there doing these surgeries. And they had a documentary crew that snuck in with one of these groups, and they showed what happened afterwards. So these people are basically blind. They have doctors from outside of the country come in and do these surgeries for free to cure them and make them see again. And when the first thing they see is the poster of, at this time, it was Kim Jong-il, and they praise him. This is a guy who's kept these doctors away from you this whole time.
Of course.
And they praise Kim Jong-il.
Of course they do.
They're so, I mean, and there's nothing.
No, they're happy because now they can see and drive their Cadillac that they, apparently you left this out. You said they had Cadillacs and.
No, cataracts.
And they,
that's different.
What?
Yeah, it's totally different. Totally different thing.
Oh.
Not nearly
I
as
thought
nice.
Kim Jong-il had given them all Cadillacs.
No.
And of course, I mean, you know, a doctor is going to, okay, that's cool. Like, but now I can drive my Cadillac. Maybe I can drive someplace where there's food.
Maybe we should get Michael Malice on this week. He's been on with us a few times.
He's great.
He's been to North Korea. He knows that regime really, really well. And I can't imagine he's happy with the coverage of the Olympics so far. Because, I mean, it has really done everything they can. I don't know if it's just because they think North Korea is in a fight with Trump, so they have to praise North Korea. I don't know if it's they just don't care. I don't know what the reasoning is.
The left does not care. The left doesn't care about communists. It never has. It loves them. It loves them. Where are the apologies from people like Michael Moore and Oliver Stone to the people of Venezuela? Where's the apologies? Oh, we thought this was a great system. We helped talk everybody into this. We think this is great. They're now eating the dog on the street. They're eating rats to stay alive. Where is the apology? it's not coming, so don't look for it, because they don't mind people suffering for the experiment of communism.
You can't make an omelet without a couple of eggs breaking, so...
I've heard that before.
Really? I think it's a good way to phrase what we're talking about now. I'll have to think
about it. We should also get the quote from George Soros, where he basically says the same thing, where he says, you know, so sometimes it fails, but it's an experiment, and sometimes people die in experiments.
Ah, that's great.
I think that's why Mike Pence might have been sad this weekend. Anyway, there's a reason we've been telling you about LifeLock's identity theft protection for so many years. It's because 25% of the American people have already experienced identity theft, and it hasn't even gotten started. LifeLock can help you detect thefts to your identity that you may miss just by monitoring your credit. Take Christian, for example. He's a sound engineer. He joined LifeLock because, as he says, quote, from my perspective, I know my information is out there and I don't like it, but it's the reality of the situation. In 2014, his decision proved to be a pretty good investment. He received an alert from LifeLock, and he learned that 5 cell phone accounts and a department store credit card were open all in his name. He said, when I called LifeLock, they told me, sit back, relax, we'll handle it. And they did. He said, I'm a member for life. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you don't have to deal with the identity theft on your own. LifeLock is there for you. 1-800-LIFELOCK. 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Beck. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. If you use the promo code Beck, you get 10% off of your LifeLock membership. LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
You know it's great, Stu. The media has its priorities right.
Good.
The Today Show is over, you know, in North Korea or South Korea, and they were just doing an interview with the Tonga shirtless flag bearer.
The Tonga shirtless flag bearer.
Yeah, you haven't seen that? Oh, they loved him. They've loved him in years gone by. He's a guy who doesn't wear a shirt, and they oil him all up, and he comes out with the Tongan flag and. Oh, the ladies love it.
The ladies, are you sure? Because I was told that you're not supposed to gawk at other people.
No, they love it. At the Today Show, they loved it. In fact, they went over and touched him and thought it was great and, you know, giggled about how sexy he was. And he was back on the Today Show again today.
Really? So the whole thing about sexualizing others and maybe groping them because you find them attractive, that's now okay again? Or is it just okay for... people from Tonga? How does that work exactly?
No, he's a male.
He's a male?
Yeah.
So that's it. You just have to be a male.
You just have to be a male, and then you can be gawked at and fondled and, you know, whatever, you know, by women. What?
So
you don't understand this? If it was a female, it'd be absolutely wrong.
In all seriousness, even if they agreed. That's the point here, because obviously he's not opposing this. Although... how would you know, like, they would not, if you took someone from North Korea and they walked out in front of everyone, they were hot and didn't have a shirt on and everyone started fondling them and they said they agreed, would we be like, oh, well, of course, that's fine. Of course not, right? We assume he's okay, Tonga being a free-ish society, we assume he's okay with this. However, would we give that right to a woman? I mean, probably not. If there was a woman...
if she was a prostitute, yes, then we have to fight for her right to be a prostitute.
But let's just take a woman who's working in a normal job, who's attractive. Mm-hmm. You know, they have these the occasional calendars, right? Mm-hmm. They do it with guy firefighters all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Those are good. Those are all right.
Let's say it was women office workers, right? No. Female office workers.
No.
And they came out and they looked really hot and sexy. No. You oiled them up in a bikini. And then, I want to throw this in too. Then the male hosts of the show walked over to her and put their hands on her unbelievable stomach and legs and back.
Yeah.
Just to test it because all made jokes about how hot. Now, I know Jimmy Kimmel made a career out of that before he became the nation's conscience. But I don't think that would play all too well.
No, today. You can't do that. No, you can't do that. But it's okay to do it with him. Don't you understand the logic here?
No.
Yeah, it's very simple. You're a guy. Women can do that. You're a woman. Men cannot do that.
No, I believe strongly in the equality between the sexes. There's no difference, Glenn, between them, of course. And no difference at all. All we want is equal treatment. That's it, right?
No. No. I don't know if you've been awake for the last, you know, couple of years, but there's not even, you ready, Stu? Mm-hmm. There's not even dog equality. And feminists are now claiming it's time for dog equality. That's coming next.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So Stu has been telling me through the commercial break, there's no such thing as dog equality. And I said, you're exactly right, Stu. And that's the problem.
Well, I wasn't saying it was a problem, per se. You seem to be indicating that dogs aren't equal to humans.
And no, I would say that I'm not even talking about that. I am talking about dog equality. Dogs between dogs. Male against female.
Oh,
there's a glass ceiling for dogs, Stu.
Wait, you're saying equality within the dog world?
Yes. Let me give you the story from Reuters, and you are going to change your tune. Writing for Reuters, Stephanie Kelly highlights how male domination in the dog world has become so bad that she now has to ask the question, is there a glass ceiling for dogs? And the problem here is the females have to eventually retire from what they want to do to go have puppies. And that keeps them out of the competition world, and they can't compete.
Because what the dog wants to do is be in a competition?
Yeah. Oh, my God. For instance, the winning female German Shepherd from last year at the Westminster competition, mm-hmm. rumor, mm-hmm. not returning this year because she had to become a mom. And so now she's a mom. So she's a stay-at-home mom that can no longer compete. And it's because, quote, of this unfair truth of biology. That female dogs have been taken, have taken home the award for best in show. They've only won 39 times. Just a little over half the number of times the male dogs have won. And gender equality, it's not there. There's only 1,220 females versus almost 1,700 males competing. And she also wanted to point out in her Reuters story that of the oppressive language involved.
The oppressive language involved?
Yeah.
What oppressive? Can I ask for an example?
What do you call a male dog?
A dog.
Right. What do you call a female dog?
A dog.
No. No, technically there.
Right. I get what you're saying, but no one uses that terminology.
They do in the breeding realm.
But it's not a negative in the breeding realm. It's just the name for a female dog in the breeding realm.
Jeez. Oh, I don't even know what to say to you. You're such a Neanderthal.
I guess I am.
Oh, my God.
Because I've noticed in horse racing, for example.
Yes.
A male horse mm-hmm. that might win a race or two. Mm-hmm. Will be retired, go to stud, as they call it, right?
Yeah, and, a stud.
Yeah,
and what is she? What is she?
What is who?
What is the female horse? She becomes a nag.
I guess that's true.
So you've got the stud deep. And the nag, the dog and the bitch. I mean, you want to talk about a glass ceiling. These poor dogs.
Why are you assuming these dogs care about winning these competitions at all?
Because I read it from Kelly, somebody or other, at Reuters. She knows. She's been writing about the dog shows for a while now, I hear.
You hear.
She also says, aside from the breeding, competition can be rather taxing on female dogs, which can cause a change in temperament and hormones, When a female dog enters a cycle every 6 months, some owners will forego showing it all together because, quote, they're moody.
No.
I'm quoting from the article.
That's not real.
I'm quoting from the Reuters article. Depending on the breed, a female dog in season will shed her coat, leaving her less impressive looking than her male peers. These kind of changes knock her out of the competition for months. And what does that mean? That the male dogs have a better chance of winning. There's a glass ceiling for dogs in the dog world, Stu, and you don't care.
You're right. I mean, not about the ceiling part, but the I don't care part.
Is that incredible?
That is an incredible story.
That's my favorite story from the weekend. I just.
So you like that better than the Olympic story that I was telling you about? I thought that was a pretty important one.
The Olympic story?
Yeah. Not the North Korea thing.
What was the?
The other big one from the weekend.
I don't know what the other big one.
Well, 11 big ones.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Not from BuzzFeed.
I don't frequent BuzzFeed.
Well, you might now.
All the time.
You might now.
Why?
When I tell you about this story, and you guys can go see this right now. You can see it's all photos with each one. 11 men's luge bulges that all deserve gold medals. Because what's happened here, Glenn, is when you're on the luge, you wear a skin-tight costume. So what BuzzFeed has done is taken close-ups of their genitalia and then highlighted the best 11 genitals from the Olympics. So now you have the 11 men's luge bulges that deserve gold medals because their genitals in the tight clothing are so good looking. They deserve an award. The men deserve the award for their genitals.
Where is the the ice skaters on the ice where it's really cold, the women and the close up of all their nipples.
How dare you?
What I just
hashtag me too.
Oh my God. I just thought it would be okay.
Could you believe that you would even suggest such a thing?
But I thought it would be okay because we're objectifying the males, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because that,
what am I even asking you for? I mean, you don't even see the dog oppression. How are you suddenly the expert?
I don't even see the dog oppression.
You don't dog oppression.
But apparently, if I go to BuzzFeed, I'm able to see the 11 men's luge bulges.
It bothers me that you are looking at them right now.
I am not. I have not scrolled down in the article. Although I did get a taste because, you know, you gotta make sure for accuracy's sake. I mean, in all honesty. Now, if you're going to like some shady site, in the bottom corner, you'll see those ads that are like, did you know what, you won't believe what happened when she took her top off while doing the weather. And you're like, what station was this? I don't understand. And there's just a story of like, you know, it's like a picture that looks like she might be, some woman with like big boobs or something is doing the weather, and that's
it. Oh my gosh, I don't even notice
those. I don't even notice them. I'm told these things by other people. So I'm not going to say that 11 men's luge bulges that all deserve gold medals does not have a female equivalent on the internet. It definitely does, right? There are plenty of sites that will provide this material. BuzzFeed, however, is a site that has had hundreds of millions of dollars of funding, is in many ways has a legitimate news organization that has actually done some really good journalism. Some I'm not as big a fan of, but some really good journalism. How on earth can they give you 11 pictures of close-ups of men's genitals in tight clothing and put it how is that an article in today's world?
When
you can go on this site and find dozens of articles about Me Too and objectifying women.
And not a single article about the glass ceiling for dogs. I mean,
that's true too. I don't think they've even covered it. I mean, look at it. On the BuzzFeed story, there's a side of BuzzFeed News, like other stories you might be interested in. New York State is suing Harvey Weinstein, his brother and Weinstein company. It's on, they're talking Me Too on the same page as the Bulge article. I mean, that is absolutely, it's shocking. I would say unbelievable at this point.
All right, I want to talk about Simply Safe. Simply Safe is our... is our sponsor this half hour, and they've been great. I've worked them worked with them and watched them grow from a company with 10 employees, and they have transformed now into the fastest growing home security company in the nation, now protecting over 2 million people. And they've just released their brand new home security system, the all-new SimpliSafe. The system has been completely rebuilt and redesigned. Stu, go to SimpliSafe.com right now and look up how much. Just scroll down. You'll see this chart on how much money you save in the months.
All right, SimpliSafe.com.
They've added new safeguards to the system, protect against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines. They've taken hammers to it, wow, and bats to it.
Yeah.
This is the best thing. It's practically invisible. There's no wiring. There's nothing. No contracts. You own the system, and it is still $14.99 a month if you want the security of, you know, 24/7 monitoring.
Yeah, so in a year, you'd save $336, 2 years, $672, and 3 years, $1,008.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
More than pays for itself, I mean, easily.
Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com right now and order SimpliSafeBeck.com. Read all about it. See the system for yourself and see the amount of money that you're going to save. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Let's go to Seth in Pennsylvania. Hello, Seth. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Glenn. How are you doing today?
I'm very good.
Good. Hey, I was kind of offended with the BuzzFeed article. They, you know, automatically assume just because they're bald, just these guys are men. They didn't even ask them their proper gender pronouns.
You know what? Thank you.
Great point.
Thank you, Seth. Thank you for being a right-thinking American. We don't know, man, woman, or the other 91 genders that they could have claimed. We don't know. Very good.
Glenn, real quick, if I could just take one moment.
Sure.
I've been listening to you for over 15 years. I've tried to get through to you so many times. I wanted to thank you personally. Your words on so many occasions have helped me want to be a better man and a better father to my three kids. So I just wanted to thank you so much for that.
Wow. Thank you. That is, I'm grateful. Thank you very much.
That's very cool. I mean, sure, fatherhood, being a better father, being a better man is one goal. Another goal would be to get a gold medal in the Luge Bulge competition.
Right.
That's a much, I would say it's a
is bigger. There an American? Is there an American?
I don't know. I have not scrolled
where,
through
where
the
Where are we on the crotch, on the crotch medals? Are we?
I don't know how
what's
we're
the
doing.
Medal count.
I don't know how we're doing. I will say this: is a good point on Twitter at World of Stu. You can tweet at any time. We'll try to check it during the show if we can. This is a good point though from Dan. The luge, one, a winter sport. Two, skin tight suit. Three, speeding down the chute feet first into a major wind. A suspicious lack of shrinkage. Does anyone not realize that they're seeing prosthetics at work? And I don't know if that's true. BuzzFeed does have a pretty good investigative team. Maybe they can look into these luge pictures that they've given to us today and check out what's going on down there. Cause I mean, if you're in a luge suit, you're going down 50, 60 miles an hour in the winter. I mean, there's some things that are going to happen and there's going to be some shrinkage going on. I would
not
think.
In that suit.
No,
no.
Have you ever worn a suit like this?
Well, not that I want to talk about.
I don't think they make luge sizes and
no, it wouldn't be.
Wallace,
can I ask you, what is the sport part of the luge other than just, look at that, he can hold on. I mean, because you're going like 40 miles an hour. He's holding on and he's not screaming. Look at that.
No,
I mean, is that the talent that it takes? Don't scream. Don't, when you get towards the end, don't just roll off like, holy crap. Don't do that. And hold on.
I went to Action Park when I was a kid. If you're not from the Northeast, you might not know what Action Park is, but it was this amusement park in which it was famous for basically killing many of the people who went to it.
Yes, yes.
Lots of major injuries. They called it Traction Park and Class Action Park. A lot of people were either drowning or getting their backs broken.
Right.
But they had the Alpine Slide there. Which is a good thing for kids. Basically, they took this mountain it was on, and they just built a nice little, concrete roller coaster down it. So it was this little, cup of concrete, and then you put something, you just sat on this little I don't know, this little tray with wheels on the bottom and just went down at like 200 miles an hour. And I remember falling off of it, as seemingly everyone did going down the Alpine slide. And you just, if you were lucky enough to fall on the concrete, it was so smooth that it would just take all of the hair off of wherever, like your arm, and it would just be smooth for multiple years.
But if you fell into what, the lake of knives?
No, if you went off the side, there was some grass along with many rocks that you would hit at 40 or 50 miles an hour.
Right.
And it reminds me of the luge a little bit. I assume that the luge is very difficult to do. And the
looks like just hang on.
The subtleties would be, right, like shifting your weight and taking those corners in the exact right way.
But I watch reels. I mean, that sounds like a sport that I could do. You know what I mean? I'm not saying today, but with practice, a sport that I could do. I just lay down here. And I shift my weight. Hang on. Okay. I mean, like figure skating. No way I could ever do that. You know, ice racing. You know, I watched the 5,000 meter race yesterday. No way. It looks, it looks like they're just like,
so graceful.
Yeah. They're just kind of like, I'm just kind of moving my feet, just kind of slow, but they're going, you know, rapidly fast, and they're going, you know, 5,000 meters, which is more than 25 feet
or less. It's one of the two.
It's one of the two, and they're just, and it looks easy, but I know it's not. The luge,
it looks easy, and you think it is?
Lay down.
We should attempt this. I think we should stick you on the top of a mountain.
Lay down, hold on. That's what it looks like.
You think you could do the luge? Costume would be so.
It would be great.
Distracting.
Well, I couldn't do it and get a good time because I'm not exactly aerodynamic.
But you have weight, right? If you're going down slide, I would think if you have some mass,
the luge
it might help.
Bulge might be different with me.
Different part of the costume.
Different part of the costume.
The back fat bulge. I don't think that gets featured in the
look at the breasts on that guy. You know, that might have been.
There's one way BuzzFeed would write that article is if they were focusing on your man boobs, your moobs.
My moobs.
If they were focusing on your moobs, then it would be okay for them to feature boobs in one of these articles. Other than that, I don't think it would be.
I swear to you, I thought they said they were going to concentrate on my moves.
No.
Not my moves. No. I didn't. It's not the article that I thought I had given permission for.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
The Dachau concentration camp in Germany is a place overrun with misery and despair. It was established by the Nazi government in 1933, one of the first concentration camps. At Dachau, some of the horrific medical experiments were tested on prisoners. This is where the Nazis figured out what's this deal with hypothermia? How cold do you have to be to get it? Is there a way to come back from it? They used the prisoners to test their attempts at making seawater safe to drink. They intentionally inflicted contagious diseases like malaria and typhoid fever on people to test how they could treat them. At least 28,000 prisoners died horrific deaths at Dachau. Vice President Mike Pence and his family visited the concentration camp last year. Photos surfaced of that. And the Pence family, they're all overcome with sadness. The press has a problem with that. I don't know how you're supposed to feel any different leaving Dachau. When the photo turned into an internet meme of sorts with people mocking the Pences for looking grim, people are now trying to make this photo into a game. On a level of one to the Pence family, how sad are you? Oh my gosh, where is the Anti-Defamation League? What can somebody possibly gain from tastelessly commenting on the Pence family's photos from Dachau? A few chuckles from a stranger in their basement? A few hundred retweets by like-minded idiots or Nazis? The internet could make us smarter, but it's made us dumber. There's a big lesson here. Just because you can post it doesn't mean you should.
It's Monday, February 12th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I went to Auschwitz with my family. And I'll never forget it. My daughter, Hannah, couldn't go past the first couple of buildings. She was just overwhelmed. I stood at a window in Auschwitz, looking out the window, trying to get some air in a room that was filled with prosthetic legs and arms. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, Mary, who has cerebral palsy, came up to me and she said, "Dad, they would have killed me." And I walked over to this window. And as I'm trying to get some air, I look, and just outside the fence is what appeared to be a swimming pool. And I said to somebody, "That can't be a swimming pool." "Oh, yes, yes, it is. That was for all of the camp guards and their families." And it was literally no more than 50 feet from the wall. And on the other side of the wall is where they were executing people. On the other side of the wall, directly 50 feet on the other side from the pool, was a building where they used to experiment on women without any anesthesia, especially pregnant women, before the time of ultrasound. Germans had a nonstop supply of women that they could impregnate and then see how the body worked. I was doing a documentary. And we went through the camp. And there's a picture of us going in. And then, strangely, one of my favorite pictures of my wife and I, and it's not one for display, it's one that's just, you know, in an archive. Because it's my favorite because my wife and I, it was taken right towards the end, and we were out of the camp, and I'm standing behind my wife, and the look on our faces, I don't even recognize us anymore. We're not even the same people. And I like it because it explains us. I was standing behind her. I didn't even think of it at the time, but as soon as I saw that picture, I thought, she is always shielding me. I don't know what is wrong with people anymore. How can we possibly be laughing and taking pictures of somebody from their time in a concentration camp and then making that into a joke. I'm going to take an early break because I want to tell you a story on the other side that I don't think people have any concept of what they're doing anymore. And you know what? We are better than this. We just don't think anymore. We just do. More in a minute. I want to talk to you about Valentine's Day. You are living dangerously, my friend, because you have put this off again this year. There is still time to act, but you have to act right now. 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can get 18 roses for only $29.99. Can you get a shot of these roses? These came, what, Thursday? I think they came maybe Wednesday. We left them in the box for a night, and then we put them in water. And they are just blooming now. They've been here for almost a week. And they are beautiful. Right now you can get 18 pink and red roses for only $29.99 from 1-800-Flowers. It's a beautiful bouquet, radiant pink and red roses, perfect Valentine's surprise. She's guaranteed to love them. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak, shipped overnight, so they do what those roses are doing. In the vase. They are blooming in the vase. Right now, you can order 18 red and pink enchanted roses for only $29.99. Just go to 1-800-Flowers.com. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio icon and enter the promo code Beck. Order today. Save now at 1-800-Flowers.com. Promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So, before we go back to Mike Pence, let's review what the press did this weekend with Kim Jong-il's sister.
Yeah, she stole the show, Glenn. Big propaganda minister from the North Korea. She is stealing the show at the Winter Olympics, read a USA Today headline. She is the Ivanka Trump of North Korea, said the Washington Post. She was the winner of the diplomatic gold at the Olympics. The cheerleaders were praised. She was praised. It's as if they didn't know who they were, or this was a complete mystery to them. Unless, of course, you believe that it doesn't offend them as much as they say it does. I mean, they didn't even really point out that they were offended. Again, this is a concentration camp spread over a nation.
So let's just talk about concentration camps here for a second and show you how happy they can be. This is a painting, and we'll post this on glenbeck.com and on my Facebook. But this is a painting that was painted in Auschwitz. Paintings by artists in Auschwitz happened from time to time. If you could paint, you could maybe do a portrait of somebody and you could send it back. However, that's not this painting. Usually you would have to do landscapes, something, you know, extolling Germany, et cetera, and then the guard would give you, you know, some extra whatever. This is believed to be one of the few remaining secret paintings. This was painted, let me get his name here, by John Sarznick. Sarznick painted this, and what they would do is if they could get their hand on canvas or paints, they would paint them and then they would roll them up and they would keep them. A lot of those were about the camp themselves and the prisoners. This one is the old city of Jerusalem. And you can see in this in this painting, you see the women and children walking down, and you see these skeleton-like figures standing off the corner. They look like three rabbis or three Orthodox Jews. They're standing here, and there's this one man kind of in a dystopian feel, looking at those men and watching everyone. This was believed to be a happy painting. If you see it, you see that it is all in grays and blacks, and it is really depressing and very dystopian looking. The reason why is because right down at the corner, the bottom, it is signed 90639. This was painted by a prisoner in Auschwitz. He died in January of 1944 in Auschwitz. How it got out, we don't know. Where it was kept, we don't know. We just know his serial number, and we know who he is. We know that he was born in 1909, and he died in 1944 in Auschwitz. That's a happy painting. How does the press miss the fact that Mike Pence was at a concentration camp? How does the press miss that Kim Jong-il's sister is not some innocent bystander? She is the minister of propaganda and agitation, meaning she's the one that tries to make everybody say, oh, look how happy they are. And that's exactly what the press reported. She is Goebbels. You know, our problem is that there's no personal responsibility anymore. You're only in trouble when the government or the press tells you you're in trouble. And so we've stopped looking at people as humans. We're not even seeing each other anymore. I went to a good friend's funeral this weekend. If you're a longtime listener of this program, you know who John Huntsman Sr. is. He's a billionaire. I think he was the first guy to make the spork. He was in petrochemicals, and he's the guy who came up with the styrofoam containers for things, you know, styrofoam cups and plates and little styrofoam, Big Mac containers. It was inspirational to some degree to hear his son talk about his entrepreneurial spirit. He started off by reading all of these industries that, you know, my dad has always thought of as a big success. He said, but he really wasn't. Let me show you all of the industries my dad got into and failed. And it was a partial list, and I bet there were 25 unrelated industries that he tried to get into and failed. It's like he really only succeeded big once. And that was with petrochemicals. But he believed that people could do anything. It was inspiring to see the life of a man who is like that. But everyone who spoke before, during, and after the funeral, everyone choked up as if they had inside information, which I'm sure they did, on the real story of John Huntsman, which was, as one of his other sons said, our job as a family was to figure out how to make as much money as possible because Dad was giving it all away. And we couldn't let him catch up to making the money. We knew he was going to give it all away, and we needed to make it because he just continued to give it. And everybody said, if they only knew half of what he had given. And I thought to myself, if even his closest friends and relatives knew half of what he had given, how he had affected people. And the most powerful part of the funeral was the 80 grandchildren and great-grandchildren, 80, that were sitting at the front, and they were all sobbing. And the eldest huntsman stood up, and he said, "We all may have lost a father or a grandfather." And then he looked at the grandchildren, and he said, "But you have gained a legacy. And it is imperative on each of you to pick that legacy up." And he wasn't talking about a legacy of being rich. He was talking about a legacy of giving, a legacy of seeing people. John had this amazing ability to be able to see and feel people. He was in so much pain, and you'd never know it. The last couple of weeks of his life, he had gone out and done a media tour trying to raise money for the underprivileged. And his daughter, who went with him, said, "I could see it. I could see how much pain he was in. And yet no one else knew." We need to find that way back to ourselves. And quite honestly, men need to find their way back to being a man. You know, men are being relegated into the dustbin of history. And we're going there quickly because, quite honestly, not enough are standing up and saying, "Wait, I am proud to be a man. But I know what a man is. I don't even know what a man is. You, Stu, what's a man?"
We're being told more and more they don't exist. I have 93 other options. I'm not sure men is one of them.
What define a man in your world? If you had to define what a man was, not biologically, a man.
Yeah, I mean, someone who takes responsibility for their actions, whose word you can count on. Someone you can do business with a handshake. You know, someone who protects those who can't protect themselves. Someone who fights for the freedoms that we are all given by God.
A man who stands at the gate and says, "You shall not pass," if it involves harming others. "You shall not pass." Does anybody define a man like that anymore?
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I was working on something about 5 weeks ago, and I asked the women who are on my staff on the radio and TV show, I asked them, "Please define a real man, a gentleman. What is that? Does that even exist anymore?" I had each of them write a couple of paragraphs. Listen to what they wrote. "When we describe men as gentlemen or real men, I think of the following qualities: kind, honest, loyal, humble, selfless, and courageous. Strong characteristics and high expectations. They are difficult to ask of a person, but they're a quality that every man, woman, and child should strive for. Our society values these decencies because they restore faith in humankind and make our world a better place." You know, I was really sad at my friend's funeral this weekend. And I wondered what it was that really set him apart. And it was that he was kind and he was honest and he was loyal and he was humble and he was selfless. He was a man. News anchors, coaches, doctors, comedians, and producers who have appeared to be a gentleman or real men have disappointed our society for not living out the projected personas they portray in public life. They harm, and the harm they caused their victims was made all the greater by the double lives they were living. The most important quality of being a man is integrity, living out your core principles in both public and in private. Another staff member wrote, "A true gentleman is someone who opens the door for someone who stops when he sees a person broken down on the side of the road, someone who jumps over his girlfriend during a shooting at a concert, someone who protects the helpless. Most importantly, he does these things without wanting recognition. A gentleman puts his family first and himself second. He understands there's a difference between a man and a woman, but doesn't look down on women. He treats them with respect and kindness. He's a God-fearing man who knows his weakness and surrounds himself with others to hold himself accountable for his shortcomings. He's humble, and he values every human being, and he loves as God loves." This one, "No better time to catch up on The Bachelor than a lazy Friday night. I sat on my couch watching 29 women simultaneously throw themselves at the latest Bachelor, Ari, in hopes of catching his eye. One of them gushed to the other that he's the perfect man. I sat there and I thought, why? Is it because he rides a motorcycle? Is it because he apparently is a great kisser? Or is it because he buys his dates diamond necklaces? The truth is that perfect men don't exist, but great ones, gentlemen, do. And you're not going to find them on reality TV. Real men demonstrate the kind of selfless qualities seen in the Savior who came before them. They have a genuine love for others, a deep humility despite success. They show integrity with unwavering honesty despite making mistakes. They're respectful of those with power, but they're more respectful to those without. When they mess up, they work hard to fix it. These are the qualities I want in my future husband, just as these are the qualities I strive to develop in myself, the qualities I will teach my sons, but also my daughters. They are the gender non-specific qualities of a good person, and they're getting harder to find. Maybe it's because our selfie culture teaches us to focus more on ourselves rather than on others. Maybe it's because leadership is often more preoccupied with scores than solidarity. Or maybe it's because one of the top-rated shows on TV is teaching us that perfect guys are the ones who simultaneously date you and your roommate. Last one. There's no secret to being a good man or a gentleman. Every man can transform himself into that simply by following the golden rule: do unto others what you would have them do unto you. A true gentleman makes every person they meet feel important and respected. He is a person who raises others up instead of tearing them down. He's not cruel or critical to people. He's a leader, not by force, but by example. Men and women want to emulate a gentleman because he challenges them to be better versions of themselves. He stands up for principles when it's hard and unpopular to do so. He's a leader. He's not swayed away from his morals by the majority of opinion. Most importantly, a gentleman is not without fault, but he takes responsibility for his actions, especially in the cases where he is wrong. He's not afraid to admit failures, accept consequences, and then try again. To be a gentleman is to be human, because we all make mistakes. But the difference is a gentleman picks himself back up and constantly strives to be better for himself and the people around him. I didn't ask the guys to write what a gentleman was. I asked the women to tell me what a real man was. This is why Jordan Peterson is so popular. Who says this? Who says this anymore? What outlet talks about this anymore? What outlet? What What group insists on this anymore? Did you notice that every single one of them talked about humility? I would expect if I said, you know, what's a real man? Well, he's got courage. But our society's not teaching humility. How could our society teach humility? How could it? We don't allow for failure anymore. Failure is something that you don't have to go through. So if you're not going through failure, you don't know what it feels like to be truly humbled. How do you know what's you and what's God if you haven't failed? Because I know I failed horribly and have continued to fail, just not on that grand of a scale. But I knew my failures came from me, and I knew what I had left had come from God, because I didn't have anything else left. I had nothing left. I didn't even have my name that I was given. Nobody believed my word. I'm a better man because of that humbling. We're all upside down. And I don't think I'm alone. I don't think I'm alone in the, yeah, I don't think I'm going to fight that. No. Because that really just leads to more and more anger. I think I'm going to pick my battles a little more carefully. Because we're not going to be able to fix any of this. We can't fix this politically. We have to fix ourselves. Our representatives, you know why they're still there. They're still there because we want them there. We're electing them. Look who we're electing. Look who we're giving a pass to say it's okay to run. I think now is my time. I'm a Nazi, and I think now's my time. I think there's a lot of people out there that think like me. Holy cow. I hope to God not. Because, boy, the Nazis sure didn't know how to be a man. Mike Pence was ridiculed for his stance on women, that he won't be left alone with a woman. He just thinks that it is a good safety tip. And remember how they, oh, I won't go out for dinner with a woman unless my wife is with me. Oh my gosh. Oh, he can't have dinner without his wife. Yeah, have you noticed what's happening in our society? It's a pretty smart guy. Society doesn't want strong men. The culture doesn't. The culture doesn't. The people do. So what do you say? You pick a target. And we set off to be truly great men. The men we were born to be, not the boys we've allowed ourselves to become. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about my Patriot Supply. You know, if you've noticed, FEMA is out of money. Did you see his 150 million? 1.5 $1 trillion trying to, remember when $150 billion was a lot of money, Stu?
Barely.
The $1.5 trillion stimulus package is being announced today.
It's infrastructure week again?
It's infrastructure week.
Yay.
Yeah, so we have that. Meanwhile, we are borrowing more money than we've ever borrowed before. And FEMA says we don't have the money. If we have another summer like, you know, like we did last summer with all of the hurricanes, we're out. You're going to have to fend for yourself. Well, that's the best thing I've heard from government yet. You're going to have to rely on yourself. Oh, my gosh, what an outrage. Right now, My Patriot Supply has a 72-hour emergency food kit for only $10. $10. So this is a kit for every member of your family. You can have one that will give one person breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 72 hours for 3 days. And it lasts up to 25 years. You're not going to have to rush to a grocery store. You're not going to have to worry if the floodwaters start coming up in your house. You grab this, you throw it in the trunk of your car, you get the family out, and you have food. My Patriot Supply. Call them now. Be self-reliant. That is part of being a man. Self-reliant. You can do it now for only $10 per person. It's 800-200-9031. 800-200-9031. Or you can go to preparewithglenn.com. Limit 4 while supplies last. It's preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So, Bill Murray was on CNBC, and he was talking politics. Now, I normally wouldn't inflict this on you, you know, if it was something, you know, because I love Bill Murray, and I don't want to hear Bill Murray talk about politics. But I thought this was an interesting piece on CNBC. Here's Bill Murray.
How can Kristen Wiig make everyone laugh? She's not thinking about being political. She's thinking about what resonates and what is common to all of us. Yeah. I think that that's harder and harder to do because people are trying to come, you know, try to win their point of view as opposed to saying, what if I spoke to everyone? I mean, my friend who's a great comedy writer, Jim Downey, he's accused of being a right-wing writer, a comedy writer, if there is such a thing, sort of. And he says, no, I just think the way that the Democrats handle things is poor, the way they try to pick out little pieces of a population that, well, we represent the Hispanics, we represent the LGBT or something, and they're not speaking to everyone at once, and it's almost demeaning to say I'm choosing you because you're a splinter group or you're a certain minority group. That there's almost a resentment that somehow you're separated again by a politician, you know, that you're my people, I'm in control of you, and I represent you, instead of thinking that each citizen has a right to be respected as a citizen first, someone under the laws of the country.
Isn't that kind of the point of America?
Yeah. That should be very basic knowledge for every person, right? That should be the way everybody understands it. And it seems profound in today's world somehow.
But wasn't that the idea even of Martin Luther King? I mean, this idea that has been bandied around since the beginning of the country. This is the first country that said that people were people. I mean, it was laughable. Up until 18, probably 10, nobody thought this could be done. This was a laughable idea. Yeah, right. You're going to let people govern themselves. Right. It was truly laughable. And then I thought we all got it, and no, uh-uh. We didn't. We're still back there. And now this is an outrageous thought of saying, you know, we should just, you know, not judge people by the color of their skin or their sexuality or anything else.
Yeah. I like the fact that he emphasizes the point of there's a subtle sort of discrimination that goes on against these groups. And what you're saying, you need me. You need me. You can't do it by yourself. You can't handle these things by yourself. You need me. Only I can bring this to you. Only I can find a way to make your life complete. And that is, what a demeaning thing to say to somebody, whether it's a minority group or not. I mean, it's just, you don't need them. That's the empowering message. You don't need them at all.
We're starting a brand new show tonight at 5:30. It'll be me and Stu and Pat Gray and Doc Thompson and our congenial host, who is just a remarkable, remarkable woman. I'm going to introduce you to everybody in just a minute. We're going to all talk about this when we come back up the top of the hour. I'm going to give you a little preview of tonight's television show. And I'd like to start there on what do you think of Bill Murray? This is not new. Is he going in the right direction that people will actually listen?
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
I don't want to give you something else to panic about, but are your bridges and roads in your town climate change proof? Are they? Seriously. You got to know. President Trump is expected to unveil the $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan that he talked about often on the campaign trail. And for some reason, we all went, yay, yay, I think. The extensive repair list has apparently been prioritized, and the bill has been tallied now. The cracked bridges, the crumbling roads, the rusted railways, and the climate change threat assessment. Wait, the climate change threat assessment? I knew that Obama had forgotten something because he was supposed to take care of all of the other crumbling roads and bridges. Remember when we passed the first $1 trillion stimulus? Now it's $1.5 trillion. The federal government is not going to have to pay the $1.5 trillion for the infrastructure improvements, but according to the New York Times, this is the very least of their concern here. An alarming story over the weekend, nonspecific engineers and researchers say Trump's plan is not taking into account the many parts of the country that are increasingly vulnerable to rising waters and other threats from warming of the planet. Stu, you're a global warming guy. What parts... I mean, I would imagine Miami, because that's, you know, that's what if there is a melting of an ice, then the water would go up around the coastline, which mm-hmm. isn't happening. Where else would they be?
We're all in danger, Glenn. No matter where you are, no matter what time it is, you will die from climate change.
Really?
That's the fact.
Okay, this is, I mean, it's kind of sounds just like a bad episode, and this is saying something. A bad version of Westworld with Kevin Costner. Not Westworld, Waterworld. Waterworld.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's basically, that's about 6 months from now. That
really?
Was to tell the story.
Man, of science haters in the White House. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. I mean, they could have, you know, budgeted with a $1.5 trillion. Could we get some floaties? Maybe a snorkel or two for the women and children? I mean, the humanity. Please, people. According to the Times story, questioning the risk that America faces from global warming and rolling back climate change regulations is one of the Trump administration's defining regulatory principles. The climate change crowd is beside themselves today with grief that their alarm is not front and center in the government's infrastructure planning. If we could have just wasted even $500 billion on this. They say if we don't consider now how global warming and climate change is going to destroy our bridges, roads, and drown our airports, then it's going to cost our country more money in the future. Well, I guess. I mean, if the water's starting to come for the airport, I mean, I think we'll get on that right away. It doesn't take us that long to build a new airport, does it? Certainly a new strategy in promoting climate change as the fiscally responsible now thing to do. So the left is concerned about how much something is going to cost the government in the future, which is new. The climate changers should not lose too much sleep over this. The way parties and politicians have been switching sides, soon I'm expecting Mitch McConnell to be handing out scuba suits so everyone can get right to the problem. And he'll probably dump that entire $1.5 trillion into climate change research if times and people continue to change as much as they have in the last year.
It's Monday, February 12th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So tonight at 5:30, we have a new program starting. If you watch The Blaze, you might remember The Real News, where we had some really good brains sitting around the table and talking about the news of the day. And that's kind of what this program is. This is The News and Why It Matters. And sitting around the table, I've asked them to come in this morning. It's Pat and Stu and Doc Thompson and Sarah Gonzalez, who is kind of the host of this program. Her job, I'm not sure. How are you going to control this room?
I think
I can answer for a Glenn.
I still haven't quite figured that out. It's a little bit of a daunting task to be told you I'm going to have to, interrupt my boss and tell him to shut up and be quiet.
So tonight we are going to start, and I don't know, what your questions are going to be for all of us tonight, but I want to start at an unusual place, the Olympics. Anybody watch the Olympics over the weekend?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I did.
Some of them.
I watched the lights.
You watched what?
Not really the highlights, just parts of lights. And really high, I guess some call them the highlights.
Yeah. I was forced, I came home yesterday and my son was watching women's hockey, which is even less interesting than just hockey to me. I actually said, "What is curling not on?" He said, "No, we already watched the curling." So
curling is the one event I can actually watch. I feel like
curling.
Yes, that's actually exciting.
So I've never. Now I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I grew up on the border, and I don't know. Do the brooms slow it down or speed it up?
Both. They can do either. Depending I grew up across the border from Canada as well, but over in Ohio and St. We used to get curling, from Canadian channels. And yeah, it does both. Can steer it, can stop it, can make it go faster. It's all in the use of the broom, Glenn.
And they're not using brooms now. They're using like Swiffers. Have you noticed that? Seriously, I'm not kidding you.
Are they really?
They used to use brooms. They're like Swiffers now.
Wow. Well, there's been some technological advancements in the game, Glenn.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Let's talk about the way the media is treating Kim Jong-il's sister.
Kim Jong-un? Yes.
Kim Jong-un.
This is unbelievable. The New York Times actually said without saying a word, she outflanked Mike Pence. How did she outflank him by sitting there smiling? Somebody trained a camera on her. She smiled, didn't say anything, hasn't done anything, but she outflanked Mike Pence. She's terrific.
People were also...
they're in love with her.
They were also talking about the amazing side eye that she gave Mike Pence. Did you see that?
The side eye, how
great it was. She really stuck it to him with that side eye.
And what's interesting is when she gives that side eye to people in her own country, they wind up dead
right.
the next day.
Yeah,
which
they
is
feed them to
awesome.
The dogs.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she feeds them to the dogs. But somehow that's heroic.
I don't understand how the media doesn't connect the dots. She is the minister of propaganda. Mm-hmm. So she's Goebbels.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine saying, Goebbels gave the side eye to Jesse Owens, huh? Oh, that Goebbels was great. You're on the wrong side, dude. You're on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How is that? How is the press running around her? Is this just another case of, I hate the president so much, I will prop up somebody who runs concentration camps?
I think that it's a little bit of both, personally. I think that we're so far removed from what's going on in North Korea that it doesn't even cross our thoughts. But I also think that they're so obsessed with hating the Trump administration that, they can't see straight.
Yeah, I mean, good example of this, Pyongyang put out this statement of like, it was great to see, our southern neighbors, and we look forward to welcoming you, your pretty faces in Pyongyang soon. And that was taken as this like, wow, what a great moment. They're talking about reunification. They're talking about coming together. Wow, they're going to invite them over for tea. No, what they're saying is they're going to destroy South Korea and make it one country. They're not saying they want you to visit. They're not going to put a high-speed rail in.
But wait a minute. They are talking about reunification then, aren't they, Stu?
It's my nuking soul. There's a real separation into, they're falling for these very basic tricks of propaganda, which, when the person... who you're talking about, Kim Jong-un's wife, sister, is both the minister of propaganda and the minister of agitation, you should probably know that what she's saying and what she's doing has a very specific, you know, goal, and they just seem to be ignoring it.
Was anybody struck by how the cheerleaders were so adored?
Creepy. It's creepy.
Especially when you realize the reason they're cheering like that is because if they don't, they're going to be raped when they get back, and their family will be killed. And many of them probably were. Kim Jong-un takes them for his concubines. They don't know what's going on in North Korea. Of course they're going to all be synchronized.
Well, they ignore it. I think they do know what's going on, and they don't care. They don't care. And it's kind of interesting to me that South Korea is playing along with this.
Not the cheerleaders.
No, the media. The media, who's presenting all of this like, hey, this is just happy time now with North Korea. They've completely changed. Look how they've turned around and joined the international community. This is awesome.
I was trying to remember, during the Cold War, did we ever have our press do this?
I know there was Soviets?
I know there were some people that were like, oh, the Soviets are great, but I don't think I ever remember.
I don't think so.
You remember, Doc?
No. In fact, all I could remember seeing the parades where they would show some clips, but it was never like, wow, look at how great they are. It wasn't like that. In fact, we had kind of a propaganda on the other side to fight against that.
I remember in the Olympics, they would always give, the commentators would always give the lecture on, and, you know, so-and-so did skate well, but he was taken from his parents when he was three. You know what I mean?
And only gets to see steroids and you know, they were constantly, the truth was important at that time.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be now.
By the way, the Russians are still doing, which is why they're Olympic athletes from Russia rather than Russian athletes. You notice that?
Yeah. I mean, they're not using the Russian flag. They're using
Can't. Yeah, that was taken from them.
Right.
But big deal. I mean, it's still, everybody knows they're Russian athletes, and so they're competing just like they always would. Even though they cheated. Even though they cheated to such an extent that the IOC had to strip them of their flag. That's pretty bad. And yet, almost all of them are there anyway.
Especially seeing how corrupt the IOC is.
Yeah.
You know, when they're saying you're corrupt,
that's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
It's like when there's a college football scandal, though, and then they're like, they've abandoned those wins from 2002. You're like, no, they didn't. We all know they won the games. Like, we're supposed to all look back. It's like when someone says something in court and they say, please dismiss that. Don't disregard that. We know they won the games. We know they were champions that year. You can't convince us otherwise.
So the medal count, we're in fifth place. We used to be the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union had half of the countries competing. We'd still beat them.
Not in the Winter Games. That's not our specialty. That's
well, it
way.
Needs to be.
Yeah.
It needs to be.
We still dominate the Summer Games. And we do okay in the winter, but we're not. That's not our thing.
Well, it's, you know, as I learned from Katie Couric, it's because of all of the canals.
that's just in the Netherlands, Glenn.
Yeah, I know. They've got canals. They can swim on those. They can skate on those. During the summer, it is their number one mode of transportation.
Right,
still
exactly.
Today.
So, yeah, they were talking about the speed skaters being Netherlands being so good in speed skating. And Katie Couric informed everybody that's because it's their primary form of transportation. Because in the winter, the canals freeze over, and then they skate to where they're going.
But they actually don't. Most winters, they don't freeze over.
Right, and that's why they're also so good at swimming, Glenn. Right. They do because they swim to work the rest of the time.
Okay, all right. Good.
Thank you for finally drawing attention to global warming. By the way. All right, tonight's the first night, the news and why it matters on the Blaze TV. It happens at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, and you can sign up and watch at theblaze.com/TV.
It's a great, great conversation. Happen every night. All right. Grocery stores are only a couple of days, you know, before they don't have food on the shelves, if it lasts a couple of days. As soon as there is an emergency announced, all of a sudden, man, the grocery stores are absolutely empty. And when a crisis strikes, or even a warning that a crisis may strike, that food will disappear in hours from your local store, and you've seen it happen. So how do you avoid having to deal with the empty shelves during an emergency? Food storage. My Patriot Supply is there to help, and it's the easiest way to do it. In fact, they have the easiest way to get started ever. They're, this week only, they have their 72-hour emergency food kit that is worth a lot more than this and selling for only $10 each. So that means one person has breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 days. You don't have to worry about food. They come in these packets that, you know, would float if you had a flood. You just grab and put them in the back of your car and get out. And one serves one person for 3 days, and it's only $10. Now, you can get them limit of four only. 72-hour emergency food kits only this week at preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com or 800-200-9031. 800-200-9031 or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So tonight at 5:30, after my program on The Blaze, we're going to start a new show, and we invite you to watch tonight. If you're a subscriber, make sure you tune in tonight. If not, join us. The name of the show is The News and Why It Matters, hosted by Sarah Gonzalez, who is here with us, and we're the players. Doc Thompson, Pat Gray, Stu, and myself. And it pretty much, I mean, it starts with the news of the day, which what each of us think.
Yes.
Okay.
What you believe is the top story of the day.
I would let, now this probably will change by 5:30, but what is the top story of the day, Stu?
I think these DACA negotiations starting and the precedent that it sets that you can just sort of pass something without any congressional approval, which was what Obama did. And then later on, everyone just has to accept it and both parties embrace it. It's like you can just do whatever you want. And then later on, we all feel bad for the people involved. So we just do whatever Obama decided.
Which
he
is
wanted.
The second time this has happened, in to my knowledge. The first one was Obamacare.
Sure. Yeah, Obamacare had several elements like that in it, too. It's a problem. And, you know, I understand we want to be nice to everyone and we want to, our feelings are important, I'm sure. But we have to make sure that we're not setting dangerous precedents for the Constitution and the Republic.
Biggest story of the day, Pat.
I agree with Stu on what's actually the biggest, but I think the one people are paying attention to the most is the Rob Porter scandal and John Kelly's handling of it and the Trump tweets about it, which...
What do you think of that?
Well, Donald Trump needs to stop tweeting, for one thing. Needs to take a really strong stand against sexual abuse. Or physical abuse of women, and kind of hasn't done that so far. And in fact, seemingly did the opposite with the tweet that, you know, and he's right about the fact that we're not, we're jumping to conclusions too quickly. And just because you've been accused means you're guilty, but there's pretty substantial evidence here in this particular case. So I'm not sure I would be so quick to defend Rob Porter right now. And whether or not John Kelly acted quickly enough, he fired him 40 minutes after he got substantiation of it. So, you know, and he's...
Why not 39?
I don't know.
Why not 12?
I don't know.
Because he likes physical abuse of women, obviously.
That's probably why.
He's like, he's almost finished. He'll be another 39 minutes, and then I'll fire him. So,
bizarre.
Sarah?
I would actually say the United States media's treatment fawning all over North Korean leaders.
Why?
Well, because I think that it just shows how dangerous it can be to have a media that, you know, shows importance on the wrong things or doesn't tell the whole story or wants to shape a narrative so much that they, you know, make all of these people, all of these Americans don't even realize what they're cheering for. They're doing it because, you know, the media that they're watching or reading is doing that as well. And so it shows how dangerous that can be when they take it to, you know, a certain extent.
Doc?
Yeah, I'm with her. Same thing. Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. It is amazing that in just days, all of a sudden they're like, North Korea, it's swell, it's great. And look at them, they're famous. You have no idea what's going on. Even during World War II, we didn't really have any idea of what was going on in the concentration camps.
But we do now.
We do now. I mean, we have some now. What we know is horrible, and it's probably even worse. That our media could be sucked in so quickly, and we know how influential they are, especially with younger generations. If we can't figure out how wrong that is from the very people who claim to be the leaders when it comes to human rights, leaders when it comes to the treatment of women and gays, and you're falling for this? Unbelievable.
So that was, because I think that is the top story as well, so I agree with you and Sarah, Doc, but...
Good, we got it right.
however, my question is, and I would like to hear everybody's response to this, is this because they hate Donald Trump, or is this because they don't mind communism? They've you know, played footsie with communists and communism from the very beginning.
The answer is yes. It's both.
Yeah.
They hate Trump and they don't mind communism. And neither do our kids, for that matter, because they haven't seen communism at its worst in their lifetime.
And for many, their stated goals of human rights and all this is nonsense. We know that. I mean, Woodrow Wilson was a progressive. How was he when it came to minorities? You know what I mean?
It's horrible.
Right. So their stated goals are not legit. Ultimately, it comes down to their control and for their own power, their own regime, whoever they are. And hypocrisy is the only constant. It doesn't matter. They just run to whatever's working for them.
Tonight, 5:30, the news and why it matters. A roundtable you don't want to miss. Only on theblaze.com/TV. Make sure you join us tonight, 5:30.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So tonight, starting at 5:30, a new show on the Blaze, and it is called The News and Why It Matters. It's a roundtable, and we've kind of asked everybody to come in and do the roundtable on the radio and give, you know, kind of a sneak preview a little bit. Stu is here, Pat is here, Doc Thompson is here, and Sarah Gonzalez, who is the moderator on that. She's going to be moderating, but, you know, it's my show, Sarah, so I'm going to moderate a little bit today. Did you guys read the 42-year-old guy who married the 20-year-old biological daughter? They got married, having children, and now they're both facing 10 years in prison.
It's Valentine's Day week. It's a good time for it.
Hey, you can't legislate love. All right, these are two consenting adults. You can't legislate love. Why are they being charged with anything? Why is that a problem? Why is
they
it a
face
crime?
Incest charges.
Well, whose business is it?
Yeah, whose morality?
But theirs.
What
whose morality?
In what construct?
Right. That's right. That's what,
if you say that, you sound smart.
That's how I know. Is that not the logical step from everything we hear?
Yes, it is.
Just using the logic, it's the same thing.
There are pictures of them that they look like they're positively in love. It's gross.
Who
right?
are you to say it's gross?
Ah, thank you.
Who are you?
All I'm hearing is hate.
I will tell you. I will tell you, Pat, that is what went through my mind. I thought, this is obscene.
It has to be the next logical step. It has
to
be.
Who are you to say?
Right. Well, that's right. Same with polygamy. For some reason, why haven't we broken down the barrier of polygamy and incest among consenting adults where, you know, maybe they don't want to have kids? Maybe they just want to express their love to one another.
Well, he started sleeping with her when she was 16.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah.
Was now we're that... That is not
what's
consenting
the
adults.
Legal age?
16.
Probably 16.
Okay.
16.
Oh, right. And we're all just going to be like, oh, well, it's 16 then. Certainly at 15 and a half, he was uninterested completely in this.
I'm going by the progressive mindset, though. Yeah. Okay, that should be fine, right? Who am I to say their love is inappropriate?
I mean, that's because she got arrested too, right? This is a perplexing part of the story.
Did she really?
She is also, now, I guess maybe technically with the statute, she's guilty because she's, you know, involved.
Well, they're both committing incest.
However, right, like, do we not look at her as the victim here? I mean, she may be 20 years old. Does anyone on earth believe that this started on the 16th birthday? He's like, you know what? She looks pretty good today.
Yes.
That's not the way that works.
Mom says it did. Because mom said when her and her husband started to get a divorce, mom still lived at home and so did dad. And so he just slept on the floor of his daughter's room at 16.
And they just accidentally fell in love there.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know. Mm.
Who are we to say?
Who are we to judge?
I think we are.
Thinking human beings. Right. Yeah. That's who we are.
I don't know. Okay.
But I don't see how you don't go that direction with it, though. Why is the left not jumping all over that? Why is that not an okay love to them? I don't understand it.
Because there's no special interest group representing them.
There just needs to be. They just need a better marketing firm.
That is true.
Incestual people just need to hire a firm.
Yeah.
You need a better.
So do polygamists. You need to find a firm.
Get
and
better
market
representation.
It.
Yeah. Polygamist. What was the term they were using for polygamists? Because incest, just, you're never going to get any support for that. It just sounds really bad.
Polyamorous?
Yeah, polyamorous. Yeah. And there was another one I thought they had too.
Familial?
Familial love.
Oh. Familial.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And it sounds familiar, so you're going to like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Huh.
Let me give you this one. This one started out okay for me. Logan Morris was in a Georgia supermarket checkout line with his two-year-old son Tuesday night when the dad when the boy asked repeatedly for candy. I told him no. It's too late, bud. Then his son started to throw a tantrum. How many times does this happen to you? But that apparently
never
mattered.
My children don't act this way in public.
That apparently didn't matter to the 62-year-old man who was standing behind Morris and his boy at the Kroger.
By the way, I think this is how the last story started, too. Something about candy in the store. But
he grabbed my son's left hand and smacked it and turned him around and swatted him on the rear end.
Oh, wow.
He said, Dad said, I was just trying to stay calm. The 62-year-old man said, that's just the way we do it with kids.
Oh,
no.
You would have to get me off the ceiling. Oh, uh-huh. I would have gone to jail that night. I would have hit that guy, I think. Oh, do not touch my kid.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's where the story, because I would not let anybody hit my kid. But if somebody said, hey, I'm with Dad, knock it off.
Absolutely.
I'd be okay with that. Most people wouldn't. Let me throw in a couple of other things. He said, that's just the way we do it in Mexico.
Oh, boy.
The father said, well, buddy, we're not in Mexico.
Oh, how dare he.
And also, he said that the guy's eyes were bloodshot with a strong odor of alcoholic beverages.
Okay. That's how we do it in Mexico.
Yeah, that's also how they do it.
And he said, that's how we do it in Mexico, more like this. This is the way we do it in Mexico. here's the problem. He faces multiple charges, including simple battery, child cruelty, disorderly conduct, obstructing officers, and violating probation. He has been booked into jail over 50 times in the past decade.
Just the 50, though?
Just the 50.
Okay.
Just the 50.
All right.
Nowhere in the story does it say if he's here illegally or illegally.
I feel good that I would not be going to jail, that I would, because my wife would be there first.
Yeah.
She would be all over him. I mean, just beating the snot out of him.
Would you go to jail, though, if someone essentially assaulted your child?
Yes, absolutely.
You'd still go to jail?
Yeah, if my wife wasn't there, I would hit the guy.
I'm saying, would you be charged? I mean, if some random stranger starts hitting your kid, I think you have a right to defend yourself.
Especially if he's drunk.
Yeah.
Well, I think how far did you go? If you just stepped in and hit him as a stop it, probably. Right, but when I continued to beat him,
then I would go to jail.
Yeah, that might be bad.
Hang on just a second. I think we're all looking at this like it's the cute 1980s or 90s. The real question is, if you did that to your son, would you go to jail?
Yeah.
If you spanked him in public?
Yeah.
These days.
Not in Texas. But
you'd still probably get CPS called on you if they could somehow find out who you were.
Maybe in California. So. You might be. Might be in jail.
Well, it's a little different when the video goes viral that says Pat Gray, who works for Glenn Beck, .. That's where the trouble happens.
Then you're... Yeah.
I'm just surprised that no one's brought it, because I think he made a smart move by bringing up Mexico, because I think then you can defend it on cultural grounds, and you can't criticize someone else's culture.
Right, that's right.
So he might be able to get away with this.
You can't criticize it, and you can't appropriate it.
Right.
So
while we're here, did you guys see the story of the guy who lived in the United States for 40 years? He's from Jordan. He has a wife who's a U.S. citizen, four daughters who are also U.S. citizens. He owns several businesses in his adopted hometown of Youngstown, Ohio. A week ago, he was deported back to the Middle East. He's lived here for 40 years. In the last 20 years, he's been in a legal battle with the United States. He even had an Ohio congressman put his name in a bill that kept him from being deported for a short period of time. But now that that is over and the Trump administration called and said, you know, your green card has expired. We said no to a permanent residence in 1990 and then around 2000. And then we said you had to be deported in 2010. It's now 2008.
18.
You're going. Yeah, in 2018, 18. You're now going. And the story from CNN is how this guy was a pillar of the community. And this is wrong for him to be deported back to a country he hardly even knows.
Oh, God, that's being used like crazy now because they keep saying, I mean, people that, you know, they're using this for anyone who's involved in the DACA program, which, you know, you could be 15 years old and came when you were 10 or 11 and qualify for DACA. In fact, the Lindsey Graham bill actually makes it 18. So, and it's only 4 years. So you could come here at four. If you came here at 14 and you were here for 4 years,
you hardly even know
your former country.
You probably don't even speak the language.
Like, how ridiculous is this? It's obviously they're trying to get, it's typical is what they do.
You may not have even heard of Mexico. Right, right,
exactly. It's what they do with every one of these topics. You know, when it's, you're talking about life, the entire debate is, well, what about a woman who was raped with incest and her life is in danger? And that's where you wind up fighting the battle on whether you should be aborting children. And it's like this happens every single time. And I don't know why, you know, why we fall for it or why we allow it to happen. But it's really frustrating. The idea that someone who came over here, you know, after in almost to high school. Their entire childhood was in another country. They came here on a vacation for 4 years. And now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that they can't even recognize their former nation.
And we're supposed to accept the fact that because they've been breaking the law for 40 years, that's better than 1 year. Wait a minute. That's 39 times as bad. What are you talking about?
It's the only crime I can think of where you get credit for doing it longer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, we can't care because they've been embezzling from the company for 3 decades. We can't stop that lifestyle now.
And isn't it really kind of his problem, this guy that Glenn's talking about, that he knew that he was here illegally and kept investing in all of these businesses, knowing that there was a chance that he could eventually be returned to his home country?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
like, whose fault is that?
But think how bad he had it in his home country that Youngstown, Ohio, seems so good. I love Youngstown. I grew up in Beulah, right up the road. It's cool.
All right. Doc is the only one who can make that show.
Last thing. Do you think the Democrats are overplaying their hand? Listen to this from Bill Murray. He spoke these words on CNBC.
How can Kristen Wiig make everyone laugh? She's not thinking about being political. She's thinking about what resonates and what is common to all of us. Yeah. I think that that's harder and harder to do because people are trying to come, you know, trying to win their point of view as opposed to saying, what if I spoke to everyone? And my friend, who's a great comedy writer, Jim Downey, he's accused of being a right-wing writer, a comedy writer, if there is such a thing, sort of. And he says, no, I just think the way that the Democrats handle things is poor, where they try to pick out little pieces of a population that, well, we represent the Hispanics, we represent the LGBT or something, and they're not speaking to everyone at once, and it's almost demeaning to say I'm choosing you because you're a splinter group or you're a certain minority group. That there's almost a resentment that somehow you're separated again by a politician, you know, that you're my people, I'm in control of you, I represent you, instead of thinking that each citizen has a right to be respected as a citizen first, someone under the laws of the country.
What do you think of that? I mean, he sounds like Martin Luther King in many ways.
Yeah, he sounds a little too conservative for Hollywood
in
many, many ways.
Does anybody know is
and
Bill
I've
Murray?
Noticed, I don't know. He's said a lot of things that led me to believe that he's not like everybody else.
Well, surely he would have been blacklisted by now if that were the case.
He's too big.
Yeah, he speaks common sense, I think, is really all that's protecting. But
he usually stays out of stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't overtly say, hey, I love Trump, leave him alone. He doesn't do that.
No.
He says things like this.
I think, too, he's one of those guys. I don't know how much money Bill Murray has. Obviously, probably a lot. I mean, he's had a lot of big hits. But he's got that FU credibility.
Like he does.
I don't know if he has the FU money, but he has the FU credibility. He just, it doesn't matter.
Well,
you
that was apparent just by the pants that he was wearing.
Yeah, and
the fact that his hair hadn't seen a comb in about a week.
Yeah. Like a homeless person.
He does not
care. You see the stories about how he gets booked for gigs. Like he has a voicemail set up on a phone he doesn't answer.
Yeah.
And you have to leave a message for him and he may call you back. Sometimes he just shows up on the first day of the shoot without even responding.
His net worth is, according to this, and we all know this is not necessarily accurate, but $140 million. So yeah, that's a few kind of money.
Yeah, I guess.
If he does have anywhere near $100 million or $140, whatever it is, that's a few kind of money.
$20 million.
Like, yeah, I don't care.
$20 million, if you invest it and don't spend it, you can remain for the rest of your life.
That's different, though. That's a different amount of money. The amount of money that you can survive for the rest of your life is not what I would consider FU money. Mm-hmm. FU money is, I have so much money, I don't care about anything. In fact, you know, I can never work again and I will be able to live the lifestyle that I want for the rest of my life.
But isn't FU money really, shouldn't it actually be like $10? It's just not, there's not a price. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
And I don't think, that's what I mean. I don't put it with him, with Bill Murray, as a money issue. I just think he's just built this persona that everyone loves the guy, and it doesn't seem like there'd be anything that could tear him down. Now, I say this as a guy who would have said the same thing about a decade ago about Bill Cosby. So, I mean, I guess there is always something that can bring you down. When you start drugging women constantly, that can probably bring you down and probably should.
Have we gotten that picky as a society?
We have.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Discriminatory.
And you guys, I didn't get a chance to get to the story about the glass ceiling for dogs. I talked about it in the first hour, and you really all, everybody needs to see it. There's a glass ceiling for dogs now at the dog shows. It's unfair because the girls, the girl dogs, they have to go home and get pregnant, so they can't win as much as the male dogs. Anyway, that's tonight, 5:30. You don't want to miss it, only on the Blaze TV. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is 1-800-FLOWERS, 1-800-FLOWERS.com. You want a really good gift. Don't put this off. Come on, man. When is Valentine's Day? Tomorrow? Next day?
Wednesday.
You got to get them right now. You can get a great deal with all of the flowers for $29.99. 1-800-flowers.com. Go there now.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
All right. If you want to get a hold of us, Sarah's taking questions from the audience for us. Yes. Every night. This is for the 5:30 show on the Blaze TV. You can reach Pat Gray at Pat Gray at Pat Unleashed, Doc Thompson at the Doc at Doc Thompson Show. Not the
Glenn is inserting he's improving the Twitter names and inserting extra letters and characters in it. No, at Pat Unleashed, at Doc Thompson Show, at Sarah Gonzalez TX Texas. In case you don't know that. And I'm at World of Stew. You know,
and I don't know where I'm at.
You're at Glenn Beck. So go to the, but the point here is more the hashtag. It doesn't matter where you're tweeting or who you're tweeting to, just use this stupid hashtag.
Yes.
What is it?
Use the hashtag the Blaze Y.
The Blaze Y.
Oh.
The Blaze WHY. Ask questions every day. You're gonna be answering them.
Yes. Yep.
Answer them. See you tonight, 5:00, and then new show at 5:30. You don't want to miss either.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.